The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
In 1887, the first law establishing the CPA designation was enacted. Hi, I'm Scott Cheslewitz, CPA and partner of the firm Rothenberg & Peters. For decades, our firm has represented individuals, corporations, partnerships, as well as estates and trusts successfully through the maze of the ever-changing tax laws. Please contact us at RothenbergPeters.com. That's RothenbergPeters.com or call 516-773-3200. The tax return should be the culmination of proper tax planning from the previous year. In 1887, I do not think CPAs could have predicted the complexity of tax laws today. Tax planning is the first step to a well-prepared tax scenario. Please feel free to contact us for a comprehensive tax review. Visit RothenbergPeters.com. That's RothenbergPeters.com or call 516-773-3200 for an immediate appointment. Hello, everybody. Scott Cheslewitz here with Tax Talk. Another exciting half hour for you people who want to know more about taxes and also various types of professionals I bring in to discuss their business operations, because I want to discuss what's important to you. And I hope this topic isn't important to a lot of you, but at the same time, I know it is based on the percentages, and that's divorce. I have with me today Michael Fried. He is a litigation partner in the matrimonial and family law firm of Berkman, Botker, Newman, and Shine LLP, offices in New York City, Westchester, and Long Island. Michael is also a fellow of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, which is a prestigious national group, approximately 1,600 members, and only 150 are in New York. Michael handles complex, high-net-worth divorce matters, as well as prenup and postnuptial agreements and orders of protection. Michael, welcome to the show, and let me show you how I tell listeners how to get in touch with me. They can reach me at www.RothenbergPeters.com, RothenbergPeters.com, or 516-773-3200. Michael, tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you and a little bit about yourself.
Well, Scott, first, thank you so much for inviting me on your show. The best number to reach me would be my office number, 212-867-9123. And as you said, I'm a matrimonial and family law attorney. I primarily handle litigation for the firm, trials, depositions, court appearances, and but also do prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements, and try to settle my cases as best as I can.
Now, Michael, you're a nice guy, and you know, when people get the impression of a litigation attorney, they think of somebody who eats raw meat, but you're also a nice guy. Michael, tell the people a little bit about what you do. I mean, it's fairly obvious, but can you give it to us in your words?
Sure. So, like I said, I handle litigation for the firm. So when there is a contested matrimonial case dealing with issues with custody, child support, spousal maintenance, equitable distribution, when there's disputes on that and you have to go into court, I handle those cases. I do the depositions if necessary, and the trials. Mm-hmm. So, and besides that, I also do family court orders of protection and family court support cases when the parties aren't married, as well as custody cases.
Right, right. So, you know, the initial consultation, it's pretty scary for people. I don't care who you are. Nobody ever planned on being there, Michael. But what kind of documents do people need to bring to you that for that initial consultation?
So usually at the initial consultation, I like to have the clients provide financial information, such as tax returns, something you're very familiar with, Scott.
Yeah.
We like to have 3 years of tax returns, personal and corporate if necessary. And also, I like to get the last balance on their checking accounts, their savings accounts. All this information is important for me because it gives me an understanding as to what the marital estate is and also what their income is. Because when we're dealing in divorce cases, we're looking not only at the division of assets, but we're also looking at support.
Now, Michael, so ultimately you're looking to do a statement of net worth, and the CPA is very important here in helping the matrimonial client put that together. At least they should work with the CPA on this. And do you get in touch with the CPA at all? Wouldn't that be the best case scenario if the client gives you explicit permission to do that?
Absolutely. One of the questions I ask at an initial consultation is if the client has an accountant. And if they don't have an accountant or they don't like their spouse's accountant, I absolutely recommend you, Scott, because you're outstanding.
But, thank you.
What we try to do is work hand in hand with the accountant, because the statement of net worth is the most important document that you're going to prepare, have your clients prepare in a matrimonial case. It's a sworn document. And because it's a sworn document, it's the most scrutinized document. Mm-hmm. And it provides for expenses from the mortgage down to dog food. And, mm-hmm. So we get an understanding of what the budget is. Right. For those that need support or are paying support, we need to know what their expenses are as compared to their income. And it also provides a list of assets and liabilities.
Right.
And if you're not truthful on this, I mean, credibility in the courtroom is everything. Mm-hmm. You lose your credibility, you lose your case. So we're meticulous when it comes to preparing a statement of net worth at Berkman, Bakker, Newman, and Schein.
Yeah. You know, Michael, in this day and age, I view non-fungible tokens, crypto assets as the Swiss bank of this era.
Right.
If somebody was looking to hide assets, and I'm not looking for an answer here, I'm just, from the hip shooting out concerns, that's a way to do that. And there's so much regulation that needs to be passed in terms of, first of all, where is the documentation, right? So even if you do forensics, if somebody was planning for a divorce for a while, right, you're only going to go back X amount of years to look at the bank statements and things like that. Is there a major concern you have with those things?
Oh, definitely. Crypto is one of these, we're learning this on the fly.
Yes.
And we're working on, language that we're using for subpoenas and for discovery devices to ask for the proper terminology on these crypto accounts, because, it's so easy, crypto. You can go on your phone and buy Bitcoin right now on your phone, on your app. There's an app for it.
Right.
And so there's a big issue, and it's so easy to hide it because you could just put it on a flash drive and put it under your mattress like cash. And, and it's one of the biggest problems we have. In the old days, it would be, you're worrying about cash, people hiding cash. Now, the crypto world, you're worrying about Bitcoin.
And you're worried about properly filed tax returns, right? Because the person who's looking to hide crypto assets may not be filling out a return truthfully. And then if you have a joint filer, what's their exposure? And then you get into all other issues. Again, flying by the seat of my pants. Real quickly, though, how are assets divided in a divorce in New York State?
Sure. So in New York, we're an equitable distribution state. Now, that equitable doesn't always mean equal.
Right.
But what we look at here are really two types of property, marital property and separate property. So marital property is everything that you, any assets you acquired from the date that you got married up until the start of a divorce. And separate property is anything you get prior to the marriage or by gift or inheritance prior to or during the marriage. or gifts from third parties. So separate property is excluded from distribution, whereas marital property is part of, it's part of the marital pot, and it's normally distributed 50-50 with the exception of of professional practices.
Now, Michael, somebody receives a gift of stock in a closely held entity. I mean, that's excluded. However, the appreciation in that company, that is included, correct?
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of permutations when it comes to separate property and marital property. I could spend a day with you on that.
I know. And I hear the music. They're pulling me off the stage from our first 10-minute segment, Michael. We're going to be back and better than ever, people. So hold on and just wait for our next segment. Take care. Everybody, Scott Cheslowitz with his guest Michael Fried, a partner in matrimonial and family law of the family law firm Berkman, Botka, Newman, and Shine LLP. You can reach me at telephone number 516-773-3200. My company website, www.rothenbergpeters.com. I spelled it out earlier. Anyway, Michael, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at 212-867-9123 or my email, mfried, F-R-I-E-D, at berkbot.com, B-E-R-K-B-O-T.com.
Michael, at the end of the first segment, we were talking about how assets are divided in divorce in the state of New York, and we can go on with reference to appreciated gifted property and all these other things. We're just giving an overview, though. Let me ask you a question. Is a non-titled spouse entitled to 50% of the professional practice or business of a titled spouse?
Well, the answer to that is most of the time, 98% of the time, it's no. One of the variations to the law, even though, you know, we talked about most assets going 50-50, such as retirement accounts, bank accounts, when it comes to professional practice, the courts look to the non-titled spouse's direct and indirect contributions. Direct contributions being working elbow to elbow with the other spouse in the business, or indirect contributions, which are homemaking contributions, mm-hmm. contributions for taking care of the children while the other spouse works. So the courts look at that all together. But in my experience, and I'm doing this 25 years now, there's been a trend lately that courts, you know, you could ring the bell, have direct and indirect contributions, and maybe only get 35% or 40% at tops in terms of a percentage of the value of the business as compared. And then there are other instances where somebody doesn't have any direct contributions and just indirect contributions. And sometimes courts are going 15% to 20% on that.
So the term equitable distribution has latitude, Michael.
No question. It absolutely does. And that's why we're different from a state like California that's a community property state where they just go 50-50 down the middle. It's the reason why I'm in business, because we fight for our clients to say, look, he or she should be entitled to a certain percentage of that practice, or the other way around, the other side should only get a certain percentage. And it's very subjective, and I mean, that's what we're here for, to fight for our clients' rights.
Yeah, and I'm sure it can get murky if you have a New York resident who spends half their time in New York and half their time in California, a community property state. And I'm sure that's very interesting, to say the least. But you know, nothing is easy. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of permutations, the word you used in our first segment, of matters that are out there, I suppose. Right, Michael?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, the law is always evolving, always changing, and we have to keep up with the trends. And we have 22 attorneys in our office, and some of our attorneys are focused on just going through the case law and helping us as partners to be aware of these nuances.
Sure, sure. So, Michael, how is the amount of spousal maintenance determined in divorce in New York?
So the state legislature has now enumerated certain rules for temporary and permanent spousal support, the amount and the duration. And it's a formula that, as an accountant, you would appreciate. We take the party's incomes, and we take their gross income less Social Security, Medicare tax, and New York City tax, if applicable. And when there's child support being awarded, spousal maintenance is determined the amount as follows. We take 20% of the payor's income up to a cap of $203,000 minus 25% of the payee's income. That's an amount. Let's put that aside as amount number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second calculation is 40% of the combined income minus the payee's income, and that's the amount number two. And whichever one is smaller is the presumptive amount of spousal maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And then for duration, it really depends on the length of your marriage. So if you're married less than 15 years, it'll be 15 to 30% of the duration of the marriage. If you're married between 15 to 20 years, it's 30 to 40% of the duration of the marriage. And finally, over 20 years, which I am one of those, I'm married, happily married, 24 years, it would be 35 to 50% of the length of the marriage.
Now, I would just like to cut in. Ms. Fried, he said happily married. Go ahead, Michael.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Michael's a nice guy, and you know what? I want to make sure that he's safe when he goes home.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
So we talked about spousal maintenance and, of course, the all-important child support, Michael.
Yeah.
Talk about how that works.
Sure. So with child support, it's another formula. And what the courts do is they do that same determination of the spouse's income less FICA, New York City tax. And then there's a formula. You take that number and you multiply it by the amount of children you have. So if it's one child, it's 17%. Two children, it's 25%. Three children, 29%. Four children, 31%. And for more than four children, for five children or more, you got 35% of that income. And besides that amount that we get, which is paid either weekly or monthly, there's what's called add-on expenses, which are determined proportionate to income. So if the parties make the same amount of money, it could be 50-50 of medical insurance premiums for the child, unreimbursed medical expenses, child care, and an offshoot of child care is summer camp, because the child's got to be taken care of. So summer camp is an add-on. And then they have these other add-ons, such as extracurricular activities, tutoring, things like that. So you get your base amount of child support, and then on top of that, there are add-ons.
Now, you know, Michael, there is so much we can talk about here. If you have a spouse that earns far less than the money spouse, I'm sure they can seek an award of counsel fees, correct?
Right. And that's usually what happens when I have a client come to my office, say, look, I'm not going to be able to afford you all this time. And what I say to them is, you know, we still need to be retained, but once retained, we certainly have the right, if we go into court, to make an application to the court for counsel fees. Right. And we'd have to attach that statement and net worth. Again, that's why it's so important to show the court that you just don't have the financial ability to pay counsel fees. And the courts look to, they want to make sure that both parties are on equal financial footing. So there's a presumption that the moneyed spouse is going to be responsible for counsel fees on a temporary basis.
Now, Michael, I want to mention to everybody that you're the host of a weekly web show, 5 Minutes with Fried. in which you interview trusted professionals in your network, and it's sort of an infomercial for them. Every new episode adds Tuesday, and it's linked to your YouTube and Facebook page, and people should tune in to you. How can they reach you, Michael?
Sure. So if anybody is interested in seeing the show, we have every Tuesday there's a new episode on my LinkedIn channel. So you could just search my name, Michael Fried, and go and connect with me. You could go through all the prior episodes. We just put on episode 70 the other day. And a month later, it gets played on Facebook, my 5 Minutes with Fried Facebook page.
Fantastic. Now, Michael, how can they reach you again? Telephone number?
212-867-9123.
And again, your email address?
It's mfried, F-R-I-E-D, at burkbot.com.
And I'm Scott Cheslowitz, 516-773-3200. Your exciting CPA. Take care, everybody.
'The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.